You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode as we talk about the lack of your privacy rights.
Huh, interesting way to put that. Welcome
Just
to
kidding.
This episode, which is episode 1003. I've got to get used to saying 1000 in front of the episode number. Grateful that you're with us, excited to talk about what we're about to talk about, because my hunch is that there are a lot of you out there who might be in a position that this person was. And frankly, I really like the way that he handled it.
I do too.
But we'll talk more about that here as we get into the show.
It's funny too, because, you know, I said what I said in the beginning of the show just to grab your attention. But what we're talking about today is, when it comes to privacy, what rights do people have and what rights don't people have? And in fact, if you remember, we actually had a privacy show probably 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. Had to take that down. And I'm actually glad that we did. We took it down for, we should not have taken it down. And honestly, the only reason I think we did take it down is because we found more information concerning privacy and concerning some of the things that the FAA has said. But if you've heard my shtick and my spiel before, I think you know exactly what's coming. So I just have even more information to perpetuate the truth, which is, you know, what privacy rights do people have on the ground when it comes to drone photography? Can people tell you, hey, you can't film me? It all depends. It all mm-hmm. depends, just like on accidents and investigations. It all depends on what happened to move into the how.
Sure.
So we are really excited to be talking about that today. We're going to keep today's show hopefully shorter, as we've been recording longer and longer shows, giving you our life lessons that we have learned empirically. And if you're not familiar with the word empirically, it means something that you learned from experience or seeing, evidence from seeing. Anyway, all right. There's your vernacular for the day.
Right. Let's talk about some landing pads that have come in, finally.
Yeah, so let's switch gears here. So sponsor of the show today is going to be our Drone U landing pads. You know that we augment the show with products that we create, but we only create products that we believe solve very specific needs for drone pilots. So if you're into drone mapping, whether you want to create ortho mosaics and ensure accuracy, or you want to do accurate volumetric calculations, or maybe you're a surveyor or in the GIS world, well, then you're going to need some landing pads that, well, they provide a very powerful solution for ground control points. If you're familiar with mapping, then you know how essential ground control points are for your mapping projects. The simple thing is, though, that ground control points typically are two pieces. One is a target, something that can be seen from the imagery, that when you blow up those images and mark that very specific point, it's very easily discernible, and it's very easy to pick that center point so that you have the greatest accuracy in your maps. Well, if you know, ground control points, like I said, are two points. It's the target, and the second point is the GPS. We're not here to talk about GPS. We're here to talk about these targets. The best targets have a huge size. Why? They need to be at least 10 times ground sampling distance. Now, our pads are actually 25 to 30 times ground sampling distance, when flights are typically flown between 100 and 200 feet. Now, that being said, it actually reduces the projection error whenever you're choosing your ground control points in whatever software you're picking. So if you're noticing that your accuracy values are decreasing because your ground control points don't have an easily discernible, highly contrasting center point that can be discerned at pixel level, then that means your accuracy can be better. You need Drone U landing pads. You can actually buy a set of five. They're organized, so that way you don't choose the wrong location for each GCP, because that can really throw off your accuracy. So if you want GCPs that are also landing pads, that they don't move, They actually float as well. And they're a malleable material. So if you want to put them in an area to truly showcase the GPS position of the ground right there and not over grass or not over something, you want to get that real point. You are going to want to buy the Drone U landing pads. Now, you can go to the website, droneu.education, or you can go to thedroneu.com/what-is-drone-mapping-software. That is thedroneu.com. What is drone mapping software? At the bottom of that page, you will see the landing pads themselves. And those landing pads are made specifically for mappers in general, but they also help out other people as well. You can get your landing pads today, and I highly recommend that you go and you buy your landing pads right now, because as you know, we have been selling out nonstop. Because these landing pads aren't only good for protecting your camera when you're just simply taking off and landing, but they're also great for highly accurate ground control points. They also have scale constraints on them. So let's say your GPS broke and you don't have very good information, at least you're going to have multiple scale constraints on at least two axes that will help you scale your map in relative space. So if you're looking for insanely accurate maps and you need insanely accurate GCPs, highly discerning center point at pixel level. And if you see here, in fact, I'm going to just go ahead and show this. You can actually see right here, very easily discernible center point at pixel level. It doesn't get any easier. And in fact, I even showcased another little GCP, and you can see how small it is, which makes your projection error higher. And also, there's no easily discernible center point. It's just a grommet. So how do you actually choose that point in your software?
They probably made that to stick the GPS pole in, right?
They did, but then how do you visualize that point in the
map? Totally.
So it's a complete failure. Anyway, sorry to get all aggressive again, but that's just, you know me.
That was fairly unaggressive.
Long and the short of it is you can pick up a pack of five landing pads because you know that in any good mapping scenario, you need at least five GCPs and two control points. So make sure you pick up your pack of five. They're $257. If you're wondering how much they weigh for shipping, they are 31 pounds.
That's right.
So check it out. 31 pounds. You can easily travel with it, especially when you have a media badge for drone travel. But that's our sponsor today, the landing pads. Get yours today. Just go to thedroneu.com. What is drone mapping? This page right here. And you can see what is drone mapping and check out and learn more about drone mapping
in
general.
While you're there.
So you can see so much information and then the landing pads right there at the bottom. All right, guys, let's hear the question.
Hey, Drone U, how you doing? Sebastian Machane here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I appreciate all your podcasts and your content and your YouTube. And I just love it. I just eat that stuff up. You guys are fantastic. I have a kind of an interesting question here. Recently, I was out filming a community area video for a real estate agent that you wanted to include with properties. Just a video about, you know, the restaurants and shopping places in the community where the houses were going to be listed. And I was filming around an outdoor cafe. Well, when I was putting my drone away, I had a woman come up to me kind of irate and demanding that she did not give me permission to use any kind of videos or photos of her or her children in any way. And I could not use any videos of her. I assured her I was not there to take videos of her or her children. I was there to take a general view of the area. But she insisted that, well, they were sitting in the outdoor cafe, and obviously if I was flying around taking pictures, I was taking pictures of them, and I can't use them. So I eventually showed her the clip, which did show people sitting in an outdoor cafe, but because of the altitude and the distance, you could not really make any faces of who was there. And she seemed placated but still annoyed by that. And my question to you guys is, what's the ruling on that? If it's an outdoor cafe, is it considered a public place or is it private? And do I need to get permission from everyone sitting in the outdoor cafe if I'm going to be flying over with my drone or even just on the street taking photos and videos? Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
So all kinds of things come to mind there, much of which Paul will get into here. But number one, thank you for the question, Sebastian. We really do appreciate it. And guys, for your questions, because we know you have them, please go to askdroneu.com. We'd love to hear from you, as would a lot of other people out there that probably have the same question as you. But as mentioned prior to the question, I really appreciate the way Sebastian handled this, in that it sounds like he was very patient. I think a lot of us might have, a lot of us pilots might have been frustrated and, in a word, said, go to you know what. But he didn't do that. He actually took the time to show her the footage. I think it's great. I think it's a great model. Even though I would consider it probably above and beyond, it's okay to go above and beyond. But all that said, what is the ruling, so to speak, to use the word he used in his question?
By the way, it's a great point, and I just want to let everyone know that I'm taking this information directly from the Drone Pilot Field Kit. It's funny, every time I search for the Part 107 entire document, I can't find it. So I keep going back to dronepilotfieldkit.com and then just download the whole thing, and oh, it's right there.
There it is.
This is why I keep
you it. You too can have the Drone Pilot Field Kit.
Yeah, just go to dronepilotfieldkit.com. We're going to be coming up with a summarized version, actually, that will become a new funnel for DroneU, but this is something that I think every drone pilot should just have as a download, just Drone Pilot Field Kit. If you ever have a legal question, every answer to every question is literally in this document. In fact, so just so you know, I'm going to be referencing page 536, and then we're going to be referencing page 663. I know this sounds like a lot of pages to you. You don't have to have it printed out. You just have it in PDF form. It's great to have on your iPad. I know a lot of you guys have iPads because of things like Ground Station Pro and the XT suite of apps as well. So that being said, make sure you download Drone Pilot Field Kit. Go to dronepilotfieldkit.com.
And it is free.
Okay, let's get in right into what the FAA very specifically thinks about, when it comes to
privacy.
Sorry, there's something very specifically I wanted to say before I read it from the entire thing. And that is, let's see. Well, I'm just going to read the whole thing. Long and the short of it is that the FAA said there's already existing law. So whatever that they say, it's kind of like irrelevant. So let me just read what they said. The FAA received about 180 comments on the NPRM raising concerns about the potential impacts of small UAS operations on privacy. Most commenters expressed support for UAS integration and recognized that many benefits of this technology across diverse industries, but commenters discussed concerns regarding personal privacy, data privacy, private property rights, and intellectual property rights. Several commenters, including the Illinois Farm Bureau, the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, and the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions, raised concerns regarding small UAS operations over private property, and several asserted that UAS operations should not be permitted over private property without advance authorization given by the business, institution, or property owner. Some commenters, including the Colorado Ski Country USA, man, these guys have really killed drone flying it for like everyone in action sports in the winter. And the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture and the Electronic Privacy Information Center asserted that the FAA should include provisions to protect privacy as a part of this rulemaking, while the Center for Democracy and Technology asserted the FAA should address privacy in a future rulemaking. The CDT and EPIC included specific regulatory proposals for consideration. The National Farmers Union asked the FAA to be mindful of its concerns regarding the collection of data by industry and government, which might be used against a farm owner. I'm always shocked at what I just have to quick side note. I'm always shocked at people's vast misunderstanding with privacy. Mm. It's like, do you have one of these? Okay, you have no privacy. All right. Can I see your phone really quick?
Are you going to dog my Samsung?
No, I love Samsung. If you have Android, then you're really screwed. Okay. Sorry, Rob. Love your Samsung. It's just the operating system. Okay.
Whatever.
However, several commenters, including the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, the National Farmers Union, and the Florida Department of Ag and Consumer Services, recognize that privacy regulations are beyond the scope of this rulemaking and FAA authority. Let me say that one more time. They recognize that privacy regulations are beyond the scope of this rulemaking and Federal Aviation Administration authority. Several commenters, including the Professional Photographers of America and the Law Office of Debbie Wex, Wex is a great restaurant here in Albuquerque, by the way, asserted that existing law already addresses the issues of privacy. So hold on. There's two really key points right there, okay? Key point number one. Right here, recognize that privacy regulations are beyond the scope of rulemaking and FAA authority, and then asserted that existing law already addresses the issues of privacy. The News Media Coalition asserted that privacy concerns are best addressed at the state level, and the University of North Georgia commented that privacy concerns are minimal, provided flights are operated in accordance with FAA rules and images acquired from 300 feet or above are not obtained using facial recognition technology. Okay, so let's go down to, so the FAA has nothing to do with privacy. So let's go down to page 663. Come on, 663. Okay, 663 of the Drone Pilot Field Kit is the photographer's rights, updated January 2016. There may be a new update to this. So one thing that I would like to say, we're just going to switch this. We're going to put our position top left corner of the screen. Okay. So here's the thing. The general rule. The general rule in the United States is that anyone may take photographs or whatever they want when they are in a public place or places where they have permission to take photographs. Absent a specific legal prohibition, such as a statute or ordinance, you are legally entitled to take photographs. Examples of places that are traditionally considered public are streets, sidewalks, and public parks. Property owners may legally prohibit photography on their premises, but have no right to prohibit others from photographing their property from other locations. So with our commenter's problem, okay, first step, is he allowed to photograph the private property? And the answer is yes, okay? Whether you need permission from property owners to take photographs while on their premises depends on the circumstances. In most places, you may reasonably assume that taking photographs is allowed and that you do not need explicit permission. However, there is a judgment call and you should request permission when the circumstances suggest that the owner is likely to object. In any case, when a property owner tells you not to take photos while on the premises, you are legally obligated to honor the request. So that was the property owner. So since the lady complaining was not the property owner, again, he is okay to take the picture. So let's keep going down this rabbit hole because it does go further. Okay. There are some exceptions to the general rule. For example, commanders of military installations can prohibit photographs of specific areas when they deem it necessary to protect national security. U.S. Department of Energy can also prohibit photography of designated nuclear facilities, although the publicly visible areas of nuclear facilities are usually not designated as such. Members of the public have a very limited scope of privacy rights when they are in public places. Basically, anyone can be photographed without their consent except when they have secluded themselves in places where they have a reasonable expectation of privacy, such as dressing rooms, restrooms, medical facilities, inside their homes. I just want to say that one more time. Inside their homes, okay? Despite misconceptions to the contrary, the following subjects can almost always be photographed lawfully from public places: accidents and fire scenes, children, celebrities, bridges and infrastructure, residential and commercial buildings, industrial facilities and public utilities, transportation facilities, e.g. airports, but you know you can't fly in controlled airspace, Superfund sites, criminal activities and arrests, law enforcement officers, okay? There is a key point, though, if that the person is recognizable in photos and you use it for a commercial provision, that you have to get a model release or you have to give them some sort of compensation. And I'm trying to find that right now because this is more of who is likely to violate your rights. They have limited rights to bother, question, or detain you. I'll just keep reading then. Although anyone has the right to approach a person in a public space and ask questions, persistent and unwanted conduct done without legitimate purpose is a crime in many states if it causes serious annoyance. You are under no obligation to explain the purpose of your photography, nor do you have to disclose your identity, except in states that require it upon the request of a law enforcement officer. If the conduct goes beyond mere questioning, all states have laws that make coercion and harassment criminal offenses. The specific elements vary among the states, but in general, it is unlawful for anyone to instill a fear that they may injure you, damage, take your property, or falsely accuse you of a crime just because you're taking pictures. Private properties have very limited rights to detain you against your will and may be subject to criminal and civil charges should they attempt to do so. Although the laws in most states authorize citizens' arrests, such authority is extremely narrow. In general, citizens' arrests can be made only for felonies or crimes committed in a person's presence. Failure to abide by these requirements usually means that the person is liable for a tort claim, such as false imprisonment. Let's see. They have no right to review your images or take your gear. All right, that's really important. Legal remedies if harassed. Other remedies if harassed. Let's see. How to handle confrontations. I don't see the provision about, you know, the last piece of this important point is that, you know, he looked at the photos to see if the children or the person was recognizable. That's a key point because you do have an innate right to your image. Meaning if someone takes an image of me, of Drone U, and says, Drone U fully endorses Autel Evo drone, right? We could sue the crap out of them for that because they're using an image for commercial purpose without a model release from me saying it's okay to do that.
So is that the threshold? Sorry, I've been sitting here reading more information about this because it is fascinating. Is that the threshold then? So if somebody is in public, and these folks actually weren't in public, they were on private property.
They were on private property. And he had permission, I understand from his question, that he had permission from the property owner because the goal was to take pictures of said restaurant.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that was the goal. I think the goal was to get general video of the area to be used for the realtor to convey the beauty of the area.
That's actually illegal.
How so?
Did you know that?
Which part?
I believe MLS actually has a very specific rule about this because someone was posting a video about distances. And I know people are still doing this, so I actually don't know the official rule.
Something to look into,
though.
But I'm
pretty sure that MLS has a rule that says all that you can showcase in your videos and photos is the house and, like, immediate area. You cannot showcase, like, attractions and events that are nearby, something like that. Because I guess there's a huge issue with fraud. So, and again, I don't know, don't quote me here, because I don't know if there is an MLS rule or not. In fact, I think the person who would know is Steven down in Arizona. But long and the short of it is, here's the issue, Rob. So if I take a picture of someone's house at 200 feet with a 14 millimeter lens, everything is going to look normal. The Rio Grande will look like it's 10 miles away, okay? But as soon as I use a 50 millimeter lens and frame up the house just so that it's like right in the front of the image, the river now looks like it's 3 miles away instead of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's parallax, right? That's how the lens works, right? So that could be fraudulent because you're making like attractions look closer than they actually are. Okay.
Well, I would assume that's a state by state thing as well.
Again, I do not know the law on this
whatever,
at all.
Right. So, but the point is that there would be variations of whatever the laws are, depending on where you are.
True. And this, again, goes to states' rights, too, because you've got to look up privacy in your area, but you also have to have a very clear understanding of federal privacy law. And there was recently a case, and we've talked about this on the show 3 or 4 times, and this is where I'm going to end this podcast, where a girl was getting pictures taken of her, and she was inside of her house.
Yeah, that's crap.
Okay. Oh, hold on here.
Come
reasonable
on.
Right to privacy, okay?
Still.
So if I take action to make it easier to look in my house, do I really have a reasonable right to privacy?
Well, I think, I know what your argument is, but there's still an issue of respect. And so I think we have, but you're making a point. So
go
ahead,
just
make your
point. The court decided that in this particular case, because the lady had every single, like, repeatedly and habitually opened up literally every single shade to every single window she had, and you could clearly see through there that she had no reasonable right to privacy. Now, if you are, in most cases, if you are inside of your house, you have full reasonable right to privacy. But if you remember from this guide, and this is really important, it says, I'm going to say that basically anyone can be photographed without their consent, except when they have secluded themselves in places where they have a reasonable expectation of privacy, such as dressing rooms, restrooms, medical facilities, and inside their home. So you have no reasonable right to privacy even outside of your home. And the way that this was explained to me is, well, don't you typically get ready to go outside? Don't you typically put clothes on? Don't you typically like do something before you go outside? And the answer is 99% of the time, yes. Unless you live on a ranch and or you've had too much to drink and you live on a ranch. And maybe you have access to a horse too. I don't know.
Oh my.
I wasn't going there. I was just saying that like you like to naked there. Horse ride down your driveway on the ranch to drop off the trash can at the road. I don't know. You might find me doing something like that. It also might be an electric skateboard. I don't know.
Well, and yeah, so there's the rule of law, and then there's the rule of respectable behavior by the public, by the photographer, by whatever. But I just wanted to clarify something that's, I think, important, and that is with regard to the model release, if the person is in public, and in this case, again, maybe it's a little more gray because they weren't in public. They were apparently on private property at the cafe. But a model release has to be obtained if it's going to be used commercially.
I believe that is the case.
That's what this is saying, what I'm reading here. And for example, it even says editorial news and art usage generally requires no release from the subject. But I also know that in articles like this where it's they're doing their best to be factual and base things on the law, you often see words like generally, right? So you need to really understand your specific case, your specific state, et cetera, to make sure you don't get caught up in a generally problem.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, on that bombshell, that is going to do it for us today in this show. Thank you again for listening. Please leave us a review and please subscribe to the show. It really helps us out. And if you appreciate the information, that would really help us out. If you want to book a training with any members of our team, just go to droneu.education. Check it out. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.